But I'm not going to have us open up with song. I'm going to reward you for coming tonight and not make you sing. I love to sing. So, but we have a lot we would like to get done tonight, and some of it I don't know exactly the time frame how that will work, because I'm going to turn things over to other people, and I don't even do well controlling the time when I'm up. So, I want to welcome you that are joining on the internet. We wanted to get this recorded. This is a monumental. I don't know if we know the impact here, how really important this is and how big this can be, what God can do. If you could put up the PowerPoint there, obviously tonight is all about Faith and her feeling the Lord leading her and calling her into full-time missionary service. And so we want to do that tonight, and one of the things that's kind of facilitating this, that it needs to get done, is Faith has some timelines. We as a church need to agree, if we're going to be her commissioning church and her sending church, we have to agree to that. And there's some things that we need to understand. So just wanted to encourage you with this night. I just want you to think, we're not even going to take time to turn there, and I'm not going to preach messages out of them. But I want you to think about some of the great missionary passages for a moment. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, go make disciples, baptizing them, and so forth. That's a great missionary passage. Acts 1:8, where it talks about Jesus, they're talking about going into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Great missionary passage. The concept that Paul teaches in 2 Timothy 2:2 of teaching faithful men who will teach other faithful men who will teach others. That's kind of the gist of that passage. And then Acts 13, verses 1 through 5, which is a passage maybe you're not as familiar with, but it's where there are these, it says prophets in the King James, there are this great host of those that are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in Antioch, and it's quite a list. It's a powerful list of people in this one church, and it's at that point that the Holy Spirit of God moves and says, separate for me Paul and Barnabas, and the passage talks about they laid hands and sent them out, and then the very next verse, it talks about the Holy Spirit sent them out. So, do you catch that? That God is the one who sends people out. The Holy Spirit of God works in the hearts and lives of people. And the church recognizes that. And so, that is really what we are about tonight, is to recognize that. Now, I want you to think about our missions conference. This kind of blew me away when I was thinking about it. Our missions conference that we do with the other area churches is designed, and the hope and the prayer as we pastors get together, meet, and put it together, is that God will call missionaries out of our churches. That is one of our major focuses as we discuss how we're going to do missions conference. Why do we do the youth event? Why do we always do the youth event? Well, it's partly to help them to rub shoulders with missionaries. But I want you to think about this. In the recent years, God has called Peter Hudson out of Whitney Baptist Church, Megan McKenzie out of Whitney Baptist Church, Marissa Dickey out of Montana Avenue Baptist Church, the Fifes out of Meridian, the Touchstones out of Meridian, Ethan Mosley. Some of you don't know this, but he attended New Hope Baptist Church for a while, was working there, got a hold of his life, and the Clancys out of Notice Baptist Church. And there have been others, short-term missionaries, like the Jenkins, Andy Jenkins, and Some of us have taken some short-term missions trips, in part due to the influence of the missions conference. But as you look at that list, as a pastor, I ask this question: where are the missionaries from Cuna Baptist Church? That is a sign of a healthy church to be sending people out. And so I began several years ago praying that God would call people out of this church, that God would use people from our church in his great missionary endeavor. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, verse 38 and 39, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers." That is a direct command that God gave his disciples. Pray for laborers. And so I began praying that. In fact, this last missions conference, how many of you remember being challenged with Matthew 9:38? Set your phone at 9:38 and pray for God to call missionaries. Ben Horton made that challenge. I set my phone, and to do that very thing, I had already been praying, but I thought, well, that will give me every day. I didn't do it morning and evening, because sometimes in the morning I'm busy, but my girls will tell you my phone goes off at, well, before I lost it, it went off at 9:38. "Dad, it's time to pray!" So I've been praying that God will work within our church to help us be more mission-oriented here, outreach-oriented here, and that God will raise up people specifically from our church, to go out. And so you could imagine when Faith, during the missions conference, contacted me and said, "Pastor, I want to go to the mission field." It's a good thing you went there, because tears started running down my face. And I was thanking God for answered prayer. And so before I lose it, I'm going to ask Faith to come. She's going to share with you a few things. We've asked her to share. Faith, I just want you to know that as soon as you did that, I got you a yellow folder. And everything that I've been doing and working on with you goes into this yellow folder, so that in my mess of an office, I can always find my yellow folder.
I'm going to start with my testimony, just to start off with. So I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up knowing Bible stories. I grew up knowing what Jesus did on the cross. I grew up, you know, praying and going to church. One night, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, but it was more just I knew that's what you had to do, so you didn't have to go to hell. I was scared of going to hell, so I was doing that so I would be safe from that. But it wasn't personal. It wasn't real, really. It was just surface. And I did that for like months. I prayed every single night. And then one night my mom found me doing it again, and she had, you know, been there, I don't know, the first time or whatever, but she had been there, and so she knew that I had already prayed it. And she asked me like why I was praying it, and I said I was scared of going to hell and I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew that this would protect me from going to hell. So and so she explained to me that once Jesus was in my heart, that I didn't have to be afraid, because he wouldn't ever leave me, and I would be safe and secure in that salvation. And we went through the gospel story again, and that night I prayed and asked Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior. I asked him to forgive my sins. I believed that he died on the cross to save me and to save me from my own sin. And that's when there was like a real change in my life. Before, it was like I was just living But after that point, it was like I changed. And I wanted to serve God with my life. I wanted to live for Him. I loved Him, and I loved what He, you know, I loved Him because of what He did for me. So after that point, I just continued to grow in that relationship with Him. You know, as a homeschooler, you know, I had Bible class, and so through that, and through the discipleship with my parents and church, I grew in my relationship with God. When I went to Awana, I grew to love memorizing God's word and reading the Bible. And recently, I've been loving like deep study of the Bible, and I've seen the growth that it brings. And so that's kind of my testimony. Why I want to be a missionary, I wanted to be a missionary for like a really long time. I was like, since I was little, I was like, oh, that would be really fun. But I didn't just want to be a missionary. Like, I wanted to do something else. I didn't, like, just being a missionary, it was like, it was exciting, but, later on, it was like going to Awana and teaching the little kids about, you know, helping them memorize their verses and stuff. I realized that I love talking to kids, and also at that point, I realized that I would way rather talk to kids than adults about the gospel. So I was like, well, that wouldn't really work in missions because you have to talk to adults too. Continuing to work in Awana and help the kids memorize their verses and explain what they mean and what Jesus did for them gave me a love of teaching the kids and showing them the love that Jesus has for them. So after that, I went and I decided I was like going to be a teacher because I was like, I like teaching kids. I like being with kids. I can talk to them. I can connect with them. But that February, Megan McKenzie came, and she teaches missionary kids and is a missionary, but she's a teacher. And so I was like, I saw that you could do both. I could be a teacher. I could do what I was good at and what I loved, but I could also serve God and follow that calling that He had laid on my heart and be a missionary and tell people about what He did. So by my sophomore year, it was like I was set on that, and ever since that's kind of been my goal for getting my education, for like that's just what I've been working towards. After missions conference this year, I saw that it was time to really step into that, and so I chose ABWE because they're good with relationships. There's somebody to stand behind with ABWE. I'm not going to be alone going into the field, so that's kind of why I chose them. Also for the accountability with the fundraising and stuff, they're gonna, you know, hold it for me and just give what I need. And then trainings, they offer and require trainings and that to help equip people to serve on the field that they're going to. So that's kind of like why I chose ABWE. I started the application process also after the missions conference, and that's just been, you know, like I had to do like a big forum on like who I was, why I wanted to do missions, what I believed in, and then the next step in that was doing this and having the sending church agree on having me as a missionary, and then I'll have an interview to go over theological beliefs and stuff, and then after that I have July, I have trainings and conferences and stuff to do that just, it, like the trainings to, I have new missionary orientation that kind of just figure out what a missionary does. I have trainings on what field I'm going into, what their beliefs are, how to reach them. And so that's kind of like what I'm going to be doing in July. And then after that, I have, I'm going to have to do language school because I don't know that much French. And then, yeah, I have to, you know, do the fundraising and stuff. But that's pretty much all I have to do for that. So I don't know how long this was supposed to be on my part. So, like, that's kind of all of it. I would appreciate prayers. It's been really crazy with school and work and all the stuff I have to do for ABWE. So prayers are very much appreciated. And, yeah, that's it.
Well, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Faith, that's quite a process. That's a long, long process of applying, especially with ABWE. It's probably one of the biggest, most thorough interrogations and investigations and application processes that there are, but I think you've chosen a great mission agency. At this time, we're going to ask Jim Christensen, I asked him to come and just give a little insight as Faith's youth leader. And I know that, I got it backwards. We'll come back to that. Come on up, Jim. I already announced you, so come on up. I know the Bowers have been with Faith too. So if you guys have anything you would like to add, feel free. But I didn't warn them, so I warned Jim. So.
And one of the first ones I realized right away may disqualify her, and that is the fact that she has to be willing to eat anything. And I've seen Faith when we've tempted her to eat some things, and she just kind of not so willing to do that. But overall, all joking aside, I looked at the qualities under Baptist Mid-Missions. That's the closest ones I could find that had qualities. And I think if you look at Faith, you'll see that the qualities are there. She meets all of them. It's kind of surprising, but she truly does. One of the first qualities is a vision of what God will do for her, through her, so she can reach the lost people of this world, right? And you can see that in Faith. You know, when I first met her as a junior high schooler, I was a little concerned because she was very shy. But she has started to grow, and we've watched that progression, and she's gotten stronger and stronger in her growth and her knowledge that she can witness to people and reach people for Christ. What a great thing. The next thing was integrity. You know what Paul says integrity is? The man of God who has integrity is blameless. Okay, I'm not a member of her family. I don't know how things are at home, but what I see at church and when we do things with Faith, she is in that situation where she is blameless. Or if she has done something wrong, she readily admits that. So she is meeting that quality. She knows where she is at, and she is walking with the Lord the way that he would have her to do it. The third one is courage. I have seen that a lot in Faith over the years. You know, like I said, she was very timid when we first started meeting in Sunday school and in youth group and stuff. But over the years, especially through expedition, I've seen her change greatly. And she's gotten stronger and more courageous. I'd have to say that it's not just courage. It's a strong boldness that she has been willing to do things I wouldn't do. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength and boldness to do that. So she, once again, meets the qualities and the requirements there. The next one is understanding. And when they talk about understanding, they're talking about more along the fact that she has the training needed to do the job. We understand that in this phase, she may not have all the training, but who does? Who has all the training? What they expect, I think, in most missionaries is the willingness to continue on. And they look back at what they've done to prepare for that as well. So in faith, if you look at what she has done to prepare, she has worked in this church as a leader in Vacation Bible School, in Awana. She is already showing those traits of a good teacher as what she wants to do. So she has already been doing that. And most missionary foundations are looking at whether or not they have applied that to their life in the past, knowing that they will learn a lot more in the future. So once again, faith is there. I have two more for you, Faith, and then I'll leave you alone. The next one is the power of articulation, that she can talk to you. She can persuade you to believe in what she has to say. That is something that is important. I think missionaries have to be able to have people believe what they say. What good are we sharing the Word of God if people won't believe us? Well, when Faith talks to us, we believe what she says, right? That is a great quality. And the last one is profundity of character. Whoa, what do you think of that? Profundity of character. And it indicates that a person is marked by a set of qualities that make him or her different from others around them. An example is King David. He had profundity of character. He didn't always do what was right, but he was a man after God's own heart. Right? So even though when he made mistakes, he came back to God. Well, we heard Faith even talk tonight that she has turned more towards God. We know that Faith has profundity of character because all of the things about her built together show that she loves God, that she wants to serve him, that she wants to be a great witness for him. So I think she meets the qualities of a missionary if she will work on eating anything. I am impressed.
Do you have a worm in your pocket to try that out?
And I have $5 too. I think she will do a great job. I'm highly impressed. You know, today we were singing a song, last thing, and then I'll be done. We sang that song about there's power in the blood. And one of the questions asked in that song is, would you do service for the king? Well, we know that Faith will do great in service for the king.
And thank you, Jim. Bowers, did you want to add anything to that? Yeah? just add an amen. All right. Yeah, he did a great job. Well, you know, when Faith told me, Pastor, I want to be a missionary, I'm going to apply with ABWE, my instant thought was, as a dad, as a pastor, I was thrilled. As a dad, I was like, oh. And we want our kids to grow up and move on and be used of the Lord. And so this is not just an endeavor for Faith. This is an endeavor for the Schaefer family. So I've asked the mom and dad to kind of share a little bit about Faith and her, how she's grown up and what they see in her that will fit her and do well on the mission field, and then to verbalize to us as a church their support for her decision. So,
I completely, wholeheartedly agree with Jim Christensen. Faith has all of those qualities, and she's shown them at home. She's shown them at church. I'm sure she shows them even at work. She really lives for Christ in all of her life, and her strongest desire is to serve him and to please him. And I know she shows that each and every day, and she really has. Ever since she truly gave her life to Christ and recognized that he was her Lord and Savior, and that her job on earth, the reason she lived here on earth, was to serve him, she has wholeheartedly done that. In fact, I remember her begging us every Sunday until we finally got in front of Pastor to ask if she could be baptized. She just has a heart for serving the Lord and always has. Ever since he got a hold of her life, that has been the number one goal that drives everything that she does. And she's loving. She's always willing to serve and help. She is a great cook and loves to help out in that way. She loves to give gifts, and she loves kids. She is a really good teacher, and that's been able to be shown in at home, in homeschool with her younger siblings. If there was something that I was having a hard time getting them to learn, Faith could teach them and they would learn it immediately and excel at it. And so, you know, when she realized that she wanted to be a teacher, that God had gifted her with talent to do that, that was the first step to then opening up her realization to use that in service on the mission field. And I'm certain that regardless of where he calls her to and how long he calls her for, that no matter what, whether she's here or in any country, in any position, that she will continue to serve him with everything that she's got in any capacity that pops up. She has been able to be very useful in so many different ways. She was always a princess growing up, you know, loved pretty things, loved dresses, loved to be pretty, but she could get dirty with the best of them, and she can play with her brothers and hold her own and yet play dolls with her sisters and have tea parties. And so I know that wherever God calls her, whatever job she's given, she can do that. He has equipped her from the beginning. And so it's a joy to see that. And I don't think when she was born, I would have never guessed that God would use her as a missionary. And in some ways it's hard to think that she won't be within distance to visit. And when she has kids, they may not be in distance to visit. And that's tough as a parent. But we gave her to the Lord, and we continue to give her to the Lord. And she belongs to him far more than she belongs to us. And so my goal as a mom is to just continue to let go of her and give her to him and just pray that he uses her in the way that he intends and has planned for her. So it's exciting, and yet we as a family will require prayer and support in continuing to be the parents and the family that God has for Faith in order to support her.
It is an ironic statement. You know, I've been hoping and praying my whole life for something to happen. And then when Faith started talking this a few months ago, I was like, well, I don't want you to do this. It's great in concept. It's great that you're willing to do it. But I don't want to lose my little girl. I don't want my little girl to be in Africa. I don't. No part of me. There's nothing in me that wants her to travel away from me. But it's one of those things where you look to God and you let God do what you want in your life. And your parents just have to live with it and deal with it. But it is scary. But I'm so filled with joy. I mean, it's like a whole complexity of feelings. There's a part of me, but then there's another part of me that, why wouldn't you go to Africa if that's where God's calling you? It doesn't matter if it's whatever country. Why wouldn't you? I mean, what could be better? And when I was talking to Faith about school, I'm like, well, if you can work for the government, you're going to have this nice retirement. You're going to get paid better. And she's like, well, I really want to work in a Christian environment. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to make some sacrifices. And then she starts talking about going to Africa. I'm like, you're really going to make some sacrifices. And she understands that. She's not going into it blind. She's not going into it thinking, oh, things are going to be wonderful. She's just going to serve God where he wants her. And how, as a parent, could you be more proud than that? Even if it is a little scary for me. But it's hard. It's becoming real. You know, when you start talking about, well, getting in front of the church telling you she's going, it's becoming real. And so the fear is starting to kick in. But I'm so proud of her, and I'm proud of all my kids, that just their love for God, and whether it's paid ministry, whether it's talking to your coworkers at work, it doesn't matter where you serve God. It just doesn't. Just as long as you're following where God leads you. And I'm just so proud of her for doing this. And I'm proud of the church. And I'm proud of Awana's. It's something that hearing her say those things about Awana's, like, wow, I didn't see that. I mean, I knew she loved God. But it just, so, you know, thank God for Awana's and the difference that's made in her life. And the church body here, going to a smaller church was terrifying to me, because you don't offer all the things that the bigger churches do. And are my kids going to come out of this okay? You know, I liked it, but is this going to be detrimental to not have an active youth group, to not have where there's 100 kids for her to make friends with? And I just see it very clearly hearing her talk today. This is exactly where God wants us. And just seeing the results is just so amazing and so wonderful. So I'm very proud to be up here. I'm very proud of you as a Christian family for the support that you've given her, and the friendship and the connection. And I just see so many impacts in her life to get her to this spot today. So, you know, it takes a group of people, and I'm so thankful for all of you. Pardon?
No, that's fine. You can probably feel the difficulty there, and the strain. And when I started praying that God would call people out of our church, I was like, even if it's my own children, Lord. Even if it's my own children. That if God wants them to be on the mission field, wherever that is, that's where I want them to be. But that's, like Jeff, I think you said it really well. There's part of you as a Christian that says, yes, go where God wants you to go. But as a dad, you're like, you better stick close to home. I want to be in your life. So, well, this is an exciting time, and ABWE has a perspective that I want you to understand, and they have some terms that they use. They talk about a church that is a supporting church, a sending church, a commissioning church, and there's some distinction. You can be one of those, you can be all of those, all three of those. But we need to understand the distinction. So let me just give you a supporting church. We are already a supporting church of missionaries. We support through prayer and through financial giving in several different ways. We have missionaries that we include in our budget financially. Every month we give to those out of our general fund giving. We support those missionaries. And we have missionaries that... Some of you we have a kind of a faith promise type of a program where you feel the Lord leading you personally to give towards a missionary. And so we support missionaries financially and through prayer. That's a supporting church. A commissioning church is the church that recognizes the call of God's life on an individual and says, we agree with that. We're her home church. We recognize that. Ascending church goes to the next level, where they are the ones that are the driving force behind getting a missionary onto the field. It's not just simply recognizing, yes, they're qualified, yes, they're called of God, but we are going to get behind them. We're going to support them financially on a lot higher level. We're going to support them faithfully through prayer. We're going to be actively working with the mission agency. They're going to confer with us. We're going to confer with them. And so this is where we're at with faith. We need to be able to get behind her and say that that's what we're going to do. And so here's their agreement. They have an agreement that they would like us as a church, and I thought it would be good for you to understand it and hear about it. ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Missions or World Evangelism, serves churches and missionaries based on the principle that the local church is the commissioning authority. We have the authority. Not them, but us. It's our responsibility to recognize the Holy Spirit of God working. So that they are the authority. And the mission agency, as the delegated task of it, has administration and oversight of missionaries. And that follows that model that we talked about in Acts chapter 13. The church recognized the Holy Spirit had called them, and they laid hands on them, they sent them out. And if you go to Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas come back and report to the church. So that's why missionaries do that kind of thing. Therefore, before proceeding with the candidate process, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism asks potential sending churches to enter into a threefold partnership between the local church, the mission agency, and the missionary. So here is ABWE's commitment to us. They recognize the God-given authority of the commissioning church to send missionaries. The church is the driving force. They accept the delegated authority from the sending church to provide leadership, training, advice, direction, accountability for the missionary's personal and ministry well-being. If faith is on the mission field, say in Togo, Africa, and something happens that she's sick, it's that mission agency will administer getting her home. And so that's kind of the role that they step into. Consult with the commissioning church prior to a decision to change ministry role and locations or locations of ministry. In other words, they're not just going to say, Faith, we don't want you in Togo anymore. We want you to Congo. That will be a dialogue between us and Faith and them. And that comes out in all of the commitments. To provide information, consultation, training, and resources for the local churches in equipping, sending, sustaining their missionaries. That agency has promised they're going to help us to help her. And so that's that. Provide missionary care ministries for a global operation, from a global operation team, field leadership, and the missionary care department. They have a whole, that's what they're about. Their whole focus is taking care of missionaries. Provide all services outlined in the ABWE missionary handbook and the ABWE policy manual. Faith is to make this commitment: to examine, understand, and abide by the ABWE doctrines, practice as defined in the ABWE missionary handbook, the ABWE policy manual, participate in training required by the ABWE leadership throughout their missionary career. And that's something that ABWE does really well. They continually are training and educating and helping their missionaries to understand culture, to understand the times and so forth, the dangers where they're at. And so that's actively pursue pre-filled ministry and report regularly throughout the pre-filled journey. So that's something Faith will have to do. We've seen that in our missionaries that they report to us, and that's part of the reason why they do that, because it needs to. Faith is agreeing to correspond regularly with prayer and financials. I think I've got something wrong here. She's not doing the financial support. I evidently didn't change the heading there. Or is it right? Ah, yeah, okay. Thank you. I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't. Okay, cooperate with the ABWE leadership and commissioning church regarding initial ministry role and location. She's going to talk to us about her role, where she's going. We're going to agree with that, and so forth. serve faithfully in life and ministry, pursuing holiness, humility, accountability, and honoring with fellow IBW leadership team members and nationals, and faithfully represent ABWE and the Commissioning Church's doctrine and practices in a culturally appropriate way. We don't even begin to understand the cultural difficulties that that brings, and so they're really good at bringing that. And here's the important one for us, our commitment to faith as a sending church. Embrace its God-given role to equip, send, and sustain missionaries. That's our job. And so this is a great answer to prayer. Examine, understand, and agree for its missionaries to abide by ABW's doctrine and practice and principles, the guidelines that they set out. And entrust ABW leadership with the delegated authority and responsibility to train, advise, direct, and hold its missionaries accountable for personal and ministry well-being. You notice there is this kind of a tie-in. We're responsible to do that, and so is the mission agency. And we're giving them, but ABW, what I like about ABW is that they recognize we as a church have to give them that privilege to enter into that, to help us to do that. Consult with ABW leadership and the missionary prior to the decision to change a ministry. That's the same. And to assist, support, and hold its missionary accountable throughout application, appointment, pre-filled, and career ministry. We're making a long-term commitment here. When we as a church are, say I retire as a pastor, the church still making that commitment. It's not just a pastor's commitment to faith, it's the church's body commitment. So that's actively participate in the sending process with financial contributions, either from the church budget or from a collection of individuals throughout the congregation. I would say we're committing to helping Faith get into other churches and to help her raise that financial support. Faithfully pray, communicate, encourage, and advise its missionary in cooperation with the ABW leadership. And so I don't know that we need to go into that. I want you to understand, Faith needs us as a church. If we're going to be her home church, her sending church, her commissioning church, we need to sign on the dotted line that we're willing to do that. And she needs that to be able to progress forward. So we really need to kind of formalize that. And Allison, would you mind taking a note? I didn't ask her. I didn't prepare her. A note. Is there a motion to be Faith's sending church, to make that commitment?
I make that motion.
Okay. I got Earl Lassner makes a motion. Is there a second? All right. We've got the second. Damon Bell. Is there any discussion? Yes. Yeah. 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 It's an excellent point that you make, Dennis. And we look at the missionaries that we support. Some of those missionaries were on the field for 30 years, and we were just supporting them. We weren't the sending church. We weren't the catalyst church. We weren't that. But we have, as a church, demonstrated that we continue to financially support those missionaries. So that's an excellent point that you make. So if you didn't hear that or if they need it. Dennis just makes this is a long-term commitment, 40 years maybe, 50 years maybe. So it's a long-term commitment. Okay? Any other discussion? Okay, no other discussion. All those in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. And so, Faith, I will happily sign that document. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the doxology. It's only 10 till 7. We got time. We got time to... Some of you don't know that. I learned that some of my younger daughters don't know the doxology. That's shame on us because we need to sing it. So let's sing it. Actually, girls, there are several doxologies, but the most common one we will sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I guess we haven't sung it for a while, have we? How about the Amen? Can we get the Amen right? Amen. We're going to sing that a little more. All right, thank you, and you guys just start praying hard for Faith, okay? And for the Schaefer family, because that's a big step. And so thank you for coming tonight, for supporting Faith, and for looking to the future as God would lead us. We thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for Faith's commitment. We have seen her in action. We have recognized she has a very, very strong work ethic. We know that when we ask her to do something, she gets it done. And we are thankful that you have called her, and we are confident that when you call her to do something, she will do it with her whole heart to the best of her ability. We thank you for those traits that we have seen in Faith. Help us as a church to see this through. And, Lord, to see more that you call from our church to serve you, whether it's on the mission field or wherever it may be, help us to faithfully support that. In Jesus' name, amen.